But God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Looking at that passage from Luke today, and our passage starts with a question from the Pharisees. When will the kingdom of God come? Why would the Pharisees ask that? What did they believe about the kingdom? Well, we don't have any documents from Jesus' day to tell us what the Pharisees believed. All we do know is that a Pharisee named Zadok was involved in the founding of the Zealot Party, apparently from an older wing of Pharisees. So says Rudolf Meyer, in turn quoting from Josephus's Antiquities. The Pharisees also seem to be involved in the ferment of messianic expectancy that made first century Palestine a volatile place for Roman rulers to keep under control. On the other hand, of course, the question could probably just be to try and prod Jesus to see if he will claim to be the Messiah. And Jesus replies, "The kingdom of God does not come with careful observation. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Basically, Jesus is telling them they're asking the wrong question because they don't understand the nature of the kingdom. It's most likely the Pharisees, like a lot of people, looking more towards a political kingdom that would overthrow the Romans, bringing back the glory days of David and Solomon. Jesus is saying, you won't be able to see it coming like that. In fact, Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. So from this we can say that the kingdom is spiritual and so not visible. And if that is the correct interpretation of Jesus' words, then the "you" in the phrase "within you" is to be taken in a general sense rather than as referring to the unbelieving Pharisees personally. Let's face it, the kingdom certainly wasn't within them. Jesus now speaks to his disciples, verse 22. "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it." He's telling them that people may desire to see the kingdom of God, but they will not succeed. What does Jesus mean by one of the days of the Son of Man? Is he predicting that his disciples will look back longingly to their days together walking the roads of Galilee? Or is he speaking of the day of his returning glory? I think Jesus is telling his disciples that there will come a time, meaning after he's risen and ascended back into heaven, when they will long to see his return. But for them, it will not happen. His return will not be within their lifetime. And in verse 23, Jesus is telling them not to fall for false prophets who are pointing to the supposed second coming. They are not to leave their work, work that Jesus commanded them and us to do, to go chasing off after wildly floated speculations of his return. And we are told why in verse 24. "For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other." When Jesus returns, and he will, everyone will see him. Revelation 1 verse 7 tells us, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." We will not need telling when Jesus returns, because we all will see him. No one will be able to predict his coming. The scriptures are plain on this. But when he does come suddenly like lightning, he will be visible to all. believers and unbelievers alike. Although Jesus is telling his disciples of the far future, he's also telling them of the immediate future with regard to himself having to suffer and be rejected by the Jewish people. And that in itself proves the certainty of Jesus' return. Jesus then returns to his theme, predicting that just as in the days of Noah, people will be enjoying life, living it as they want, not as God wants, eating, drinking and marrying, living for today, just as they did in Noah's day, ignoring his warnings until it was too late and the flood came. Also, Jesus reminds them of Lot, saying, verse 28, people were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building, but the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Jesus is warning them and us that similar things will be happening when he comes again. And Paul gives us a similar warning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. Remember Lot's wife, ignoring God's instructions, turned and looked back towards her old home and was turned into a pillar of salt. Verse 30. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus, talking about himself under the authority of God, as he himself does not know when he will return, only that he will return. The warning to us is there. It will be just like this, just as in the days of Noah and Lot. Amongst all the evil, immoral people, there would have been some decent, moral people. But unlike Noah and Lot, those decent people had no regard for the things of God and eternity, and so they too were not saved. Now Jesus goes on to give a graphic, specific description of what it will be like when he returns. Someone will be on the roof of his house, the equivalent of our modern-day patio. They will be lounging there, having a drink, waiting for the barbecue. And like a lightning flash, Jesus returns. They have not to go back inside to grab anything. Rather, they are to flee, I think, is what is meant here, especially as Lot's wife is mentioned, because they were fleeing from Sodom. Those in the field must not go back for anything. It points to those whose main concern is materialistic things being destroyed, with only those who are looking forward to Jesus being saved. Verse 33, whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. In other words, to be so attached to the things of this earth that we want to hang on to them more than we want heaven is to jeopardize our eternal souls. But to let go of all the things that the world values and to live in the light of Jesus' coming will result in ultimate and final salvation. It may mean hardship and suffering now in comparison with those who are living for this life only. But to go back to one of Jesus' parables, take the rich man in comparison with Lazarus, who ended up better off. Lazarus. Those going the way of the world may have it good now, and you may be worse off because you are not striving to get the things that they have. But when Jesus returns and God's final judgment falls, you will be the one to preserve your life, as in eternal life, and they will lose theirs. Money doesn't get you everything. To add to this, we have the cryptic message of verses 34 and 35. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, the other left. To me, that means one thing only. I need to get my life in tune with God's will for me, or I will miss out. The day Jesus returns, good and evil will be divided into two distinct groups. It won't matter if people have lived together or worked together for years. The only thing to matter will be their faith and trust in Jesus. If you put your trust and faith in Jesus, then you will be taken into fellowship with God. If not, then you will find yourself facing judgment. Luke doesn't say that this taking is the rapture, that is, the gathering of all God's people to him at Jesus' return. But it does seem to fit in with what we are told elsewhere about the great gathering of God's people. Mark 13, verse 27. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Whilst we can't be sure that Jesus is speaking of the rapture in Luke, it seems that one group is taken away to be saved, and the others are left to experience terrible destruction and punishment. There will not be time left to get right with God. This separation will be instantaneous and without warning. So I urge you to look at your Christian life. Are you sure you are right with God? Well, make sure you are. For now is the time to be ready for the return of Jesus. Only God knows the timing. It could be today, next week, next year, or many years hence. But going from what Paul told the Corinthians about the mystery, you need to be ready now, so that even if it is your time to pass away before Jesus returns, you will be raised imperishable on that day. Scholars, as we all know, rarely agree on the same thing. And so it is with Christ's kingdom, where three major views prevail. We have the amillennial, the postmillennial, and the premillennial. But all three are clear and agree on one thing. Jesus is coming again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you alone know when you are sending Jesus back down to us. Help us to be ready for that moment by strengthening our faith and helping us to resist the temptations of this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.